Hello, I'm Sean Covey. It is my honor to offer this preface to the 30th anniversary edition of my father's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I've stopped counting the number of times I've been asked, what was it like being raised in the home of the world-renowned Dr. Stephen R. Covey and his 7 Habits? When I was growing up, my parents were simply my parents, and while they were kind and good, they were also embarrassing. When I was a teenager, strangers would approach me, hug me, and start crying on my shoulder and confide, I want you to know that your dad's book changed my life. I was 17 years old, thinking, are you serious? Do you realize that my dad wears velour sweatpants with a dress shirt and boat shoes? And he changed your life? I remember the time in grade school when Dad showed up for lunch and started singing a tune he'd made up on the spot called I Love My Family while standing in the lunch line with me. My friends thought it was funny. I thought I was going to die. To top it off, Dad was bald. The humiliation. It wasn't until later that I had any clue as to the gift I had been given as a child. At age 19, when I finally picked up one of Dad's books and began reading what he had to say, I thought, wow, my dad is really smart. He has matured a ton. It brought back all the lessons I had learned throughout my life. As the fourth of nine children growing up in the 7 Habits home, I was surrounded by this content. Not only did Dad teach us the principles he wrote about, but he considered us his most valued students. He tried out all of his material on us. Yet, analogous to fish who discover water last, we were so immersed in the element that we were unaware of its presence. As I began my career and became increasingly aware of the profound nature of the 7 Habits, I decided to write a teenage version of the book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. Luckily for me, I didn't have teens at the time. Now that I have them, I take back everything I said. There's no such thing as an effective teen. It's an oxymoron. Just kidding. Really now, there are plenty of exceptional teenagers. Seeing the influence of the 7 Habits on people's lives, I was inspired to continue sharing its message, publishing an illustrated children's book called The 7 Habits of Happy Kids, and a college textbook called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective College Students. As the head of the Innovations Division of Franklin Covey, I also produced workshops, webinars, videos, and workbooks on the 7 Habits over a couple of decades. In short, in addition to being raised in the 7 Habits home, I think that perhaps I have worked with, written about, and thought about the 7 Habits more than anyone else in the world, except my dad. So when Simon & Schuster, the publisher of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, asked me to add my insights to a 30th anniversary edition of the book, I was torn. My immediate response was, no way. This book is a masterpiece. Why add anything to it? Yet, as I thought more about it, I began to feel that it may be a good idea because it would allow me to illustrate the impact the 7 Habits have had not just on me but also the world. I realized I could share some behind-the-scenes accounts from my father's own life as well as illustrate the ongoing relevance of the 7 Habits. Truly, the deeper the problems and challenges become within families, organizations, and society, the more relevant the habits. Why? Because they're based on universal, timeless principles of effectiveness that endure. My father didn't claim to invent these concepts. Rather, he saw them as universally accepted principles. His role was to synthesize them into habits a person could live by. My dad's stated mission was to flood the world with principle-centered leadership. I often heard him say, "It's not about me. It's about the principles, and I want these principles to be taught far beyond my lifespan." I am emboldened by that statement and feel that if Dad were here, he'd encourage me to add some color to his book so that these principles can live on. At the end of each section and habit, I have added a few pages of insights and stories that I hope will add texture and help you better apply the principles. Please note that I have not changed any of my father's words. This book is vintage Stephen R. Covey, and as you read it, you will feel him jumping out of the book, affirming your worth and potential, teaching you how to become a more effective person at work and at home. The more I work with the 7 Habits, the more I see them as a profound scientific breakthrough in the field of social-emotional learning or the behavioral sciences. The seven habits are not just another set of seven this or that. Rather, I concur with what Jim Collins wrote in the foreword to this book, which you can access in the PDF file that came with this program. Here's what he said. I think of what Stephen Covey did for personal effectiveness as analogous to what the graphical user interface did for personal computers. There had been hundreds of years of accumulated wisdom about personal effectiveness, from Benjamin Franklin to Peter Drucker, but it was never assembled into one coherent user-friendly framework. Covey created a standard operating system, the Windows, for personal effectiveness, and he made it easy to use. End of quote. The seven habits are currently being applied by students in thousands of elementary, middle, and high schools around the world, by Fortune 100 companies, by mid-size and small companies, in prisons, in equine therapy sessions, in the armed forces, by people with disabilities, within families, and on and on. The principles, metaphors, and stories in the Seven Habits can be life-changing. I received a letter from a 16-year-old girl who had just learned about the concept of think-win-win at school. This is what she wrote me. Dear Sean, it's really hard trying to break the habits I've formed along the path of life. One of the major things is that I've stopped trying to compete with this girl at school. She is very bumptious. Sorry, I just learned this vocab word and I think it is too cool. Bumptious means rude, forward, and pushy. And she's also interested in the same things I am, so we've been pushed together a lot. In the past, I have let my dislike of her poison my enjoyment of certain things like the school play and speech tournaments. Well, I am getting so much better at this. I have forgiven her and moved on. Today I wrote in my journal a note to myself telling me to remember life is not a competition. And you know what? I feel so much better. I feel like I have this huge burden off my back. And then I remember this email from the president of Mississippi Power, Anthony Wilson. He wrote me this. In the 90s, when the threat of deregulation presented unprecedented challenges to our industry, our company turned to the Seven Habits to move us forward. We trained every employee from top to bottom in Covey's Seven Habits and principle-centered leadership and instilled these habits into our culture. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina ravaged our 23-county service territory, knocking out power to all our customers. We had to bring in 12,000 line personnel from around North America, but we didn't have enough supervisors to lead them. We entrusted our employees to take leadership roles in this emergency response because they knew how to begin with the end in mind and seek first to understand and so forth. They performed brilliantly. We were able to get the power back on in 12 days, a feat described by USA Today at the time as a case study in crisis management. We had an empowered culture that was able to step up and lead, make quick decisions, and innovate amid total devastation. The Seven Habits remain woven into the fabric of our high-performing culture. I just wanted to thank you. That is the power of principles. That is the power of the Seven Habits. I hope you find the insights I have included throughout this book to be helpful.